Mayor of.
Guys, have a good one.
Thanks.
Oh, I'm sorry. Thank you, sir. 2018 and 2019. And ladies and gentlemen, at this time, well, I'm going to turn over, I guess we can turn over to you is.
Do we, I just had a quick question. Jamie, do we need to do administration of oaths first?
We do not. I don't know why that someone brought that up. That is something that is done at the commission level.
Okay.
It's in their state code. It is not in our code for an administration of oath. Under 96804, the commission is required to do oaths for new members, but we are not so required under our section of the state code.
Very good.
Okay. Now, again, for the office of chairman is up first.
I believe the gavel gets passed to Mrs. Walls so she can handle the opening of the floor for that.
I have to turn it over to her.
Yeah, I'm going to turn it over to.
Okay. You ready?
Yep.
Okay. I'd like to open a nomination for chairman.
Okay. Members of the board, at this time, I'm going to pass the position of chairman on to whomever. I'm not going to take it then this year. But if there's any other position, I will be more than glad to. So I'll leave it open. Okay. So the floor is open for chairman.
Nomination.
I
nominate John Mills.
Second.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. Any other? Okay.
I make a motion that the nominations be closed at this time. I can do that.
That's what she does.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm too used to doing it now.
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm making the nomination or the motion that we close nominations for chairman.
Yep.
And with the nomination for Mr. Mills, I'll call for a vote.
Aye.
Aye.
All. Any opposed?
Aye.
So I'm hearing 4-0.
Yep.
Congratulations, Mr. Mills.
Okay, thank you all.
All right, I'm going to open nominations for vice chairman.
I nominate Mr. Calloway.
Second.
All right.
Thank you.
Any others? All right, close the nomination for vice chairman and call for a vote.
Aye.
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 All right, 4-0. Nice. Okay, that's all I have. I'll turn it back over to Mr. Mills.
Back yes. over to you, Mr. Correct. Mills, now, right? Okay.
Okay.
Take it right from there.
As far as reorganization, I also wanted from the board secretary, to resign my position as board secretary, as this will be my last meeting.
So we need to vote on a secretary, and who would be eligible?
I believe the
Jenny?
The director at this time would be eligible, and I believe intends to attend meetings in my.
Perhaps what might be a suggestion is that the board secretary would be, you could either do it on an interim basis, mm-hmm. or it would be Ms. Cornwell, or you could say perhaps Ms. Cornwell or her designee for this term, being that, you know, this is unusual. We're having someone leave mm-hmm. At this time.
Yeah. And I believe the intent is that there may be
someone coming along.
Correct, and there may be some alternating meetings as far as okay. staff attending. So.
Well, then I would make a motion to have Ms. Cornwell acting as our secretary until such time she recommends. Oh, wait a minute.
You can't do that now.
Gosh.
You're going to.
Everything's changed.
Everything's changed. So I'd make a motion that
well,
we
let me suggest.
You can do that.
I can suggest. I just can't make the motion.
Yeah.
So maybe, temporarily Ms. Cornwell and then whoever she would recommend to us for the future.
That would be good. That's all we can do at this point in time.
I think if you just said Ms. Cornwell as your secretary for now, and then if.
Do we need to replace or change
it? We can change that at any time.
Yeah, I don't think there's a reason you couldn't.
Yeah, no. So I make a motion that we appoint Mrs. Cornwell as secretary.
Of the board.
Of the board at this time.
Is there a motion?
Mr.
I just made that motion.
Is there a second?
I'll second it.
And all those in favor, Mr. Workman?
Aye.
Mr. Calloway?
Aye.
Ms. McGee?
Aye.
And aye as well.
Okay.
So.
Take care of that one.
Is that all?
Discussion.
Yeah, vote on an amendment to the rules of procedure.
Yeah, I think what this is, I submitted a memo to the board about a month or so ago. We had noticed, you may recall, and then Ms. McGee, you were not on the board at the time, but in 2015, Mr. Workman, Mr. Calloway, Mr. Mills, you may recall, we did kind of a wholesale renovation of the board's procedures. It hadn't been updated in almost 20 years. We kind of brought them up to date with what the processes were. And there was a typo that we found. Essentially, we inserted a new paragraph. Mm-hmm. And what we did was there was a reference to paragraph 3.3 when really it became 4.3.
I remember it now.
And it just never got corrected. One of those, kind of typos that sometimes comes up when you're doing these things. So there was a proposed change to amend the typographical error in the last sentence of Rule 4.3, which would read now, failure to comply with the provisions of Rule 4.3 shall not be considered a defect in the requirements for public notice of a public hearing. So correcting that typographical error. So I don't know if there were any questions about that, but that was something that we had discovered and wanted to make sure we got corrected. Figured the reorganization meeting was a good place to end.
Okay.
Yeah, I think that.
I also know that there had been some questions about perhaps other changes to the rules of procedure. I would suggest, if certainly we have it on here where it's a topic of discussion, if the board had any other suggestions on things in the rules that you would like to see, I would suggest that we have an opportunity at the staff level to look at those as well and perhaps report back or draft some language. But this was one that I know we had wanted to get before you, and I think we could vote on it tonight if you also wish.
So is there a motion to amend the rules?
Well, I've read all those rules, procedures, and the typo. I make a motion that we approve them with the change. I'm sorry.
I'm going to do that now.
Okay. Go ahead.
That's a little messing around a little bit.
We're going to take you out.
We need a motion to amend it.
Yep, I make a motion to amend it.
And then we're still going to have a discussion on other things, right?
Sure. We can do this motion and vote on that specific one, and then if there are perhaps discussion on other items, we can discuss it.
Okay, I make that a motion.
Is there a second?
Second.
All those in favor, Mr. Workman?
Aye.
Mr. Calloway?
Aye.
Ms. McGee?
Aye.
And aye. And that is 4-0.
Yep.
Rule number 4.3.
Thank you.
Okay.
And is there any other conversation?
Well, we've had some issues in the past with some of the surveyors and contractors, and nothing happens to them. I mean, they don't do their job. So what is our, do we have any recourse? Can we subpoena people to appear? I'd like to hear a little bit more about that.
I'm sorry, Mr. Chairman.
Yep, we can always subpoena whenever we choose. Correct me if I'm wrong.
We do have that right. One of the things, you may note that there are often times where there's a part of the motion where it's requested that I send a letter to whether it's a builder or a surveyor, whomever. Those are sent out. And I will be frank in that I don't recall having to send more than one out to a builder when those things come up. I don't know if that means they're getting better at them or not, but we do those letters, and whenever you make a motion, I have a form, you know, that we utilize and we send out. As far as subpoenaing, the board does have a right to subpoena witnesses. It is used very rarely, and I think part of the reason there, one is we, you probably know this, we don't often find out these kinds of things until the hearing, and it's difficult to know who to subpoena and things like that beforehand. But the other part is there is a staff resource issue there as well, devoting resources to tracking down addresses, coordinating the issuing of subpoenas and what have you, not to mention rescheduling hearings and whatnot. So I think we've in the past been selective about those subpoenas, with the idea being that we're doing them when there's, I know for one example, there was a builder that we were seeing a lot of, and they were a contractor, and they were accusing a builder of making misstatements, and we kept hearing it over and over. And we had a hearing, and we said, and actually I think there was a couple of them, and we said, we're going to subpoena you, and we want you here to answer that. And because mm-hmm. we were hearing one thing from this side, and the other side wasn't there.
Right.
And I think in that case, it probably was appropriate, but I think there's been some reluctance at least, you know, to do that with regularity, just because it does put a fairly significant burden on staff. To have to track those things down as well as coordinating everything else that staff does.
So, but we've had, I know a surveyor, we've had three or four things since I've been on here an issue with. What happens when we repeatedly, is there a tool in place that if they're repeatedly making mistakes, what happens to them?
We do not have at the board level punitive or damage, you know, something penalty that we can do against them that I'm aware of. I think the you know, there is a level of calling them on the carpet and, you know, perhaps I don't want to say embarrassment, but, you know, hey, you screwed up, and, you know, come to the principal's office and tell us about it. So there is it I know, I'm sure it's frustrating. I know Mr. Mills has for years had a list of folks who have come up and are, you know, perhaps bad actors or have appeared to be bad actors. And, certainly, I'm sure it's frustrated him and Mr. Calloway, Mr. Workman. I know you as well, Ms. McGee, being on the board the past year. So we are limited in what we can do there. I think the letters have been helpful.
They were very effective when... Between the cases of an error of the building boom,
we had it
04 to 07, in a period of about 2,000 cases, and between number 8,000 and 10,000. I've got a list of what I labeled unscrupulous contractors, where they just continued to build in setbacks, with you know, disregard to what the rules were and so forth. And so we started sending letters, and there were several repeat offenders, and but you know, the end result was that like Mr. Sharp said, we, you know, end up sending a letter or two a year now. And I think the same can be done with surveyors or anyone that, you know, should be held accountable. That we send a, you know, that's, I can always, you know, you can always make that request that, you know, here's, ask him to send a letter, here's the case, we don't like it, you know.
Should we send a letter to the council and ask for some type of, if we do have that
well, I don't know,
repeat that offender? Can they?
It's more of a civil matter, though, isn't it?
It you start running into, here's the, one of the potential issues that you can run into. A lot of times we hear those things, but we don't always hear the other side. And the classic example is the one that, it was about 2 years ago, and I vividly remember it, where we had this contractor saying the developer was always telling these people, they could build these sunrooms or what have you.
Yeah, we had.
And then the developer came in and said, that's not true. We don't tell people that. And they, right. But if you were in a situation where we're only hearing one side, you know, and we're making a judgment to that, that could be, you know, you run into some potential challenges there. So it's kind of one of those things where how far do we want to, you don't want to steer out of your lane too much. I think the letters, I can say that I don't recall sending those kind of letters more than once to any of these builders.
They were very effective. Rick sent a lot.
So if nothing else, it kind of puts them on notice that, hey, we're watching you. Mm-hmm. We'd like for you to step your game up. If you've got questions, we're here to answer them for mm-hmm. you. There's resources at the county level for you to find out those kind of questions. So,
But when a homeowner comes by themselves, we do have the right to say we can leave the record open that we want that builder to show up. Is that
sure.
correct?
Sure. Yeah, we can and, do that. And you know, the board has a right to assess credibility. So if you've got concerns about whether somebody's being truthful to you, you certainly can subpoena someone. Now, whether or not they will show up is a different story, but we have.
So what happens if they don't show up?
Well, we can try to get court to compel them, but you know, realistically, you know that what you know as a board, you have a right to say we want and you know we have something doesn't smell right here. You know, I'm hearing this from you, but I'm not hearing somebody that you're making an allegation against. And if you have questions on credibility, you have a right to subpoena for that. Yeah. But again, I think it's one it historically has been used rather judiciously. You know, with the idea that, you know, people are under oath here. They're not under oath at, you know, the commission when folks come up for those things. I mean, this is somebody where they're getting sworn in and testifying to. It is a little different.
Okay.
Yes. I mean, Jim, I guess I'm taking up for the surveyors a little bit. I mean, you've seen cases have three different surveys, three different places. Mm-hmm. Things change. I mean, I don't think surveys really do it intentionally. I mean, where it's at. I mean,
no.
We were very, this is the first time I think since I've been on, we had a little bit of trouble with surveyors this time, the last three times.
This
or
is.
Two times.
I can remember.
But I mean, I've seen a lot of surveys we have, maybe two different ones, and both of them are different.
Yeah.
So,
when they're 6 months apart.
A lot of times lines can be adjusted and a lot of things can be done.
Yeah. It can be, yeah.
Before you were dealing with tape. And you were dealing with different surveying techniques. Now we're starting to get with lasers and satellites and things like that.
Yeah.
But you still have to make sure your point of beginning is correct. And, you know, those are things that, you know, let's face it, are an imperfect science in some regards. So I think probably the one that I would think is probably a concern you may have, Ms. McGee, is that if they show setbacks incorrectly. Mm-hmm. You know, I think that would be, that's something that does, we do see that. And, you know, that could be something that's improved upon. But, you know, whether it involves subpoenaing surveyors, I don't know. I don't know if that's something the board wants to get into on a regular basis.
Right.
Well, the main recourse that we have is denying the application.
Right.
Okay. Okay.
But, yeah, when two people come up here, they got two different stories.
Right.
Somebody ain't right.
Well, and that's why, remember, the board is, you're here to weigh credibility and make those kind of assessments,
yeah.
just like a judge would. Mm-hmm. You know, a judge hears two sides of the story, and they, you know, sometimes have to go with who they believe is being truthful.
Yep.
All right.
Okay. Is there any other business?
Nope.
We have a motion to adjourn.
So moved, Mr. Chairman.
Is there a second?
Yeah, I'll second it.
All those in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Motion carried. We're adjourned.